Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for pastors and church leaders. This is Andrew Cook. I'm pleased to be in your company again. Christian Basics, more in the series. We continue here on Serving Today to look at the important Christian basic that new or untaught believers need to be aware of, namely the Bible's teaching about man. Now, we live in a world that is constantly changing, and not all of it is for the better. An example of this would be earthquakes, which devastate property and lives to an alarming degree. In today's program, we're going to concentrate our minds on what is the most serious and tragic change the world has ever known. And it's this: the change that's taken place in mankind from when God first created us. It's a change that's not only brought lifelong effects, but eternal ones as well. When God first created man, God's handiwork was good and perfect and without any faults whatsoever. But it doesn't take a university professor to see that today humans are totally different from our first state. We only have to listen to or read the news to learn about the dreadful things mankind has stooped to. Murders, thefts, physical violence and abuse, drug addiction and drunkenness, and so on. The list is almost endless. Every possible kind of evil and wickedness is committed by individuals around the world every single day. And if we're honest, we only have to look into our own lives to see that we are far from perfect. Well, what is the cause of such a catastrophic and universal change? If you were with us last time, you may recall we began to look at this with the help of Dr. John Hall as he talked with Derek French. For today's program, Derek asked John if he would go into this in more detail.
Yes, Derek, the greatest tragedy mankind has ever suffered is what we're looking at in this program. God made Adam and Eve and placed them in a beautiful garden, and everything he'd made was good. There was one restriction he placed on them. And Derek's going to read that for us now in Genesis 2, verses 15 to 17.
Then God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die."
Free to eat from any tree in the garden except one. And if they did eat from that, they would die. And that's exactly what they did. Let's look at the detail of what happened. Satan came and tempted them. And Derek's going to read to us now from Genesis 3, 1 to 7.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves.
The serpent there is identified as Satan in Revelation 12 and verse 9. And we see here that he deceived Eve. He's a liar. The basic thing he does is to distort God's word. And he starts off by placing in Eve's mind the suggestion that God is mean-minded. Did God really say you must not eat of any tree in the garden? Now Eve responds in a sad way, really, by adding to God's word. She responds like this: "You must not touch it. She adds to the command of God. And notice that's still how we spoil the power of God's word. We distort it and we add to it our own ideas and traditions, and it loses its power. Then next note that the devil lies. "You will not surely die," he says. Just a blatant lie. Yet both the man and the woman believed it. And yet men and women have died ever since this sad time. Always remember that. The devil is a liar. He deceives and destroys and distorts God's word. The best protection from the devil's work is faith in Christ, which shows by trusting and relying on God's word, the Bible, alone for your view of truth. Sadly, they went ahead and disobeyed God. Eve ate the fruit, and then she gave some to Adam.
John, this really is quite a most tragic, solemn, terrible instance of disobedience, really, and fall into sin. What was the result of that for us?
Perhaps you could read for yourself Genesis 3, 7 to 24. You'll see there two things: broken relationships and the curse of God. Let's first look at the broken relationships. First, between human beings. You could sum up the broken relationship between human beings under the title of shame and blame. Shame and blame. First of all, there was shame. If you could read verse 7 for us again, Derek, please.
"Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves."
They were ashamed of their bodies and had to hide from each other. And then blame. Adam says, "It was the woman made me do it. And you gave me her, so you, God, are to blame." And ever since that time, we're all still extremely good at blaming others, especially blaming God for our troubles. Why did God allow this to happen to me or that to happen to me, when we may never ever think about God apart from when we do have troubles? Please read, Derek, Genesis 3, verse 12.
"The man said, 'The woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree, and I ate it.'"
So we see here, we've been looking at the broken relationships between the man and the woman. The man blamed the woman, and the woman blamed the serpent. "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." But secondly, also we see here the broken relationships between human beings and God. That vital relationship was broken. They died, they were cut off immediately from fellowship with God. Their minds were darkened. Can you imagine the folly of trying to hide from God? How can human beings who knew God think that they could hide from him? When they heard the sound of God in the garden, walking among the trees in the cool of the day, they hid from him. You see, God's holiness makes sinful man uncomfortable and guilty, and there is in all of us that desire ever since to hide from God. There's also a curse which is emphasized by the broken relationship with God and with each other in creation. The whole of creation is cursed because of these broken relationships. They're driven out of the garden. They do die. They have conflict with each other. All the gender problems are summed up in this passage in verse 16, if you could read that for us, Derek.
"To the woman he said, 'I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.'"
They'd been created to get on well together, but because of sin, conflict has come into the woman's life, pain in childbirth, and conflict over authority with her husband. And Adam's work in producing food and tending the earth that God had given him was going to be tough, and he was going to die. If we read from verse 17 to 19 now.
"To Adam he said, 'Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food, until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return.'"
If you're a farmer or a gardener, you know how difficult and hard that work is. And you work and work and produce often little fruit, because of the thorns and the toughness of the work, and then you die, all because of sin.
John, that most solemn curse on man by God is really quite overwhelming, isn't it? And really full of despair. Was there any hope at all given to Adam and Eve when God pronounced this judgment upon them?
Yes, Derek, even at this point in time when they fell into sin, there's a hint of a future deliverer. God put enmity between the devil and the woman's offspring, and the offspring points in a faint way to Christ. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Jesus did triumph over Satan, did crush his head through dying on the cross. Perhaps you could read that promise to us in Genesis 3 and verse 15.
Yes, God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. John, I think it would be useful if you stressed for us the importance of the fact that Adam was a real man. I say that because there are many who teach evolutionary theory and tell us Adam wasn't a real man, but that Genesis is just giving us a picture to help us understand things. Why is it important to believe in an historical Adam and Eve, and why is it important to note that their sin was an actual historical event?
Yes, Adam and Eve are real historical figures because they are presented like that in the Bible. In Genesis, they are presented as historical figures in a historical book. But also in the New Testament, if we now turn to Romans 5 verses 12 to 21, Paul presents the whole human race as represented by two real men, Adam and Christ. If Adam wasn't real, you could say that Christ wasn't, and the whole of Christianity breaks down. The reasoning there in Romans 5 is this, that sin entered the world by one man, and so death came. And this one man was a real man, Adam. And it was a result of his sin that death has come upon the whole human race. But the solution came through one man too. The gift of God came. The grace of God came by the one man, Jesus Christ. By the sin of one man, death reigned. By the gift of another man, Christ, he brings righteousness and life. So all human beings are represented by Adam and are involved in his fall and therefore die. And those who trust in Christ are represented by him. His righteousness is credited to them. And those in Christ live his victory over sin. They share that. And they share his victory over death. So it's very, very important for you to see both Adam and Christ as being real historical human beings. And it's so important for you, listener, to be in Christ, to trust him as your saviour.
Well, that brings our time together to a close here on Serving Today. So this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May God bless and keep you as you serve the saviour of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter at servingtodaygbm. Or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.